Good morning.
Good morning.
Up here a little bit.
Happy Mother's Day. It's very fitting that we are currently in the series Overwhelmed. How many of you mothers have ever felt overwhelmed in life? Right?
No. Yeah.
I know my wife has. So she puts up with me, so definitely. What would you say are the greatest inventions of all time? Anybody? Anybody have some ideas on what the greatest inventions of all time would be? Telephone. What else?
GPS.
That's a good one. Microwave. Electricity. That's top of mind.
Airplanes.
What was it?
Airplanes.
Computer. Roller coaster. It's a pretty good invention. I have a lot of fun with those. Electricity is one for me. The fact that I didn't have to light a candle last night to walk around my house. The remote control is a better one for me, right? And better yet, Dish Network. How many of you have a Dish Network? They have a button on their DVR that if you hit it, it'll actually locate the remote. The remote will beep. That's one of the greatest inventions I've ever seen. The fact that I can't lose my remote is awesome. Indoor plumbing, right? It's high on my list. But nobody said these. How many know what these are?
Okay.
Sticky notes. One of the greatest inventions ever made. I think it was invented in like 1970s. One of the greatest inventions. Now, some of you may agree, and most of you probably think I'm crazy, but let me explain this. I have a tendency to forget things. I'm just a forgetful person. I don't mean to. I just get busy doing other stuff. And so I just tend to forget things. If Kara says something, hey, tomorrow morning when you get up, after she leaves for work, can you do this? I say, write it down. Leave me a note, because I'll forget, and then you'll get mad, and it won't be good. So write it down. Please write it down. But also, case in point, a couple weeks ago, I kind of kidded around that the school has me on speed dial because I have a tendency to forget my kids. I really do have a tendency to forget my kids at school. I've forgotten to pick up both my kids from school, and I've forgotten to pick up Riley off the bus. Like, we have to be home, and the bus driver has to see us, or they won't let her off the bus. And I was just over here working away, and I look out the window, and there's the bus, and then there it goes. And so I had to go pick her up at the bus garage. And actually, this week, Riley had to ride the bus home, and I had a sticky note on my desk. You can ask Amy McCarty, because she said, what does that sticky note say? Oh, pick up Riley. I'm a forgetful person, and sticky notes are an incredible tool that I use to remind myself of what is really important. Things that I need to know that are really important. If I need to remember something really important, I write it down for a reminder and then stick it in a place where I can see it often. And our spiritual lives are no different. Most of us would agree that we have a short memory when it comes to the truth about God. We tend to forget even some of the most significant things God has done in our lives or that God has revealed to us. Am I right? We forget about those things. That's why He gives you reminders, divine sticky notes, so to speak, to point us back to His love. Because He knows the moment we forget how much He loves us is precisely when you are most vulnerable to feeling overwhelmed. There's a central idea that runs throughout the book of Daniel. That's where we've been landing the last several weeks, the book of Daniel. And this idea is what gets your attention will ultimately determine your direction. What gets your attention will ultimately determine your direction in life. If you are obsessed with stressful circumstances, you will constantly be overwhelmed. But if you are obsessed with Christ, you will overcome. Now, in the first four chapters of Daniel, we see that God really is serious about getting our attention, right? He's pretty serious about that. And that truth comes across most clearly, not in Daniel's story, but in someone else's. Here's the thing. Daniel isn't even mentioned in chapter 3. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are mentioned in chapters 1 through 3, but they don't appear in chapter 4. Or the rest of the book, for that matter. However, there is one character who makes an appearance in each of the first four chapters. You know who that is? King Nebuchadnezzar. I believe Nebuchadnezzar had four sticky notes that finally led him to acknowledge the one true God. He couldn't escape the fact that God loved him and was pursuing him. And there's good news for you. Those same four reminders are true for you today. So go ahead and open, if you haven't already, open up your book, your Bible to Daniel chapter, hang out in chapter 3 and 4. We're kind of going to bounce around a little bit this morning. But we are going to be focusing on, here's what we're going to be focusing on, the four reminders that God, four reminders that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Four reminders that God loves you and has a plan for your life. And the first one is creation. Anyone here like to travel? Yeah? All right. It's good that you guys weren't traveling today. What are some of the places you've been that just take your breath away, so to speak? Hawaii. Seen pictures, never been, waiting for Kara to take me. Riley, you got one? Florida. You enjoyed Florida, didn't you? Smoky Mountains. Grand Cayman.
Israel.
Oh, I want to go so bad. That's on my bucket list. I'll get there someday. The ocean is one for me. The ocean is one for me. How powerful, how deep, how wide, and everything that lives in it is just it's crazy. Nebuchadnezzar was king of what was, at the time, the largest empire in the world, which meant he had some significant military responsibilities. Now today, if a country declares war on another country, leaders of those nations don't actually place themselves in combat, do they? No. But instead, they sign some sort of executive order and then focus on the diplomatic side of things. This wasn't the case back then, in Nebuchadnezzar's time. When an army went to war, the king not only went out with them, but he also led them into battle. Because of the size and scope of Nebuchadnezzar's empire, he was likely able to travel a good bit. He had probably had the opportunity to see things he'd never seen before. Every morning he got to see the sunrise. Every night he got to see the sunset. He had the opportunity to see things he'd never seen before. Maybe he was exposed to new experiences. He must have been constantly reminded that the world was so much bigger than he was. And I would argue that he was also reminded that there was someone out there who was bigger than he was. The Bible captures this idea in Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. God has made himself obvious to us through creation. And when I stand on the beach looking out into the ocean, or when I walk outside on a dark, one of my favorite things to do, walk outside on a dark night and look up at the sky and see all the stars. And when I do that, I don't have the thought, wow, I really am awesome. No, I don't think that. Now, you guys could think that about me, but I don't think that. No, I understand that God is awesome. God is huge, and I'm very small. And so is everything I will ever go through. Another experience comes to mind is the birth of our kids. And the one thing I don't understand is they will give my wife drugs, but they won't give me drugs. I don't understand that. But the birth of my kids reminded me of the greatness of our Creator. Now, I've heard the argument from different people over the years. You know, creation is great. The oceans and mountains are beautiful. Outer space is amazing. The birth of a baby is incredible. But all those things are a result of chaos. We exist of random chance. An explosion happened millions of years ago that produced one cell, then one cell became two cells became four cells, and four cells became a tadpole. The tadpole turned into a frog, the frog turned into a bunny, the bunny hopped into a tree, turned into a monkey, the monkey shaved, and that's where we get humans. Now, I'm not making fun, but here's one thing. Here's the thing. Believing that the entire universe, this planet, even the person you saw in the mirror this morning, is all here because of random cosmic activity is not consistent with rational thinking. And it actually takes much more faith to believe in that than it is to believe in a creator that created the universe, created everything. Design, by its very nature, implies that there has to be a designer. And let me explain it this way. I had my wife bake some cookies this weekend, and these are my favorite cookies. Oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. They're so good. They're filled with chocolate chips, and they're soft. I love soft cookies. Like, I hate hard cookies, but oh, they're just like, they just fall apart. They're so good. They're like my favorite cookies. Favorite cookies. And these were designed. She designed these. She created these. This didn't happen. So I want to bake some cookies this morning by the way the world thinks that stuff happens. So let's do that. Got my trusty apron. I borrowed this from Nancy Cherbaum. So we're going to bake some cookies. I got some ingredients here. Got my trusty bucket. So first thing, my wife said I need oil, so we'll pour some oil in there. Bear with me, because I've never baked cookies before. So this might get a little interesting. But I don't even know. I guess that's how much oil you put in. I don't know. What do we do next? Let's do flour, right? Flour? I don't know. Let's do flour. I'll let you guys try these afterwards. We'll put a lot of flour in there, so. Because we're going to bake a lot of cookies. That's good. Salt. Man, I don't even have fingernails. I chew all my fingernails, so I can't even get this open. Somebody got some. Riley, come up here and get this open. While you're doing that, I'll put some baking soda in there. Because I know cookies without baking soda taste nasty. Get it? Oh, yeah, thanks. Salt. I'll throw a little over there. Do that. Hey, good luck. I want these cookies to taste good. Eggs. I know you need eggs, right? So she told me I needed this pure vanilla extract. That smells good. Whoa. Oh. We'll have chocolate chip oatmeal vanilla cookies. You need oatmeal. That. What am I forgetting? Oh. Sugar. Pour some sugar on me. All the 80s people got that. Ooh, that was a big clump of sugar. Probably enough. Most important, chocolate chips, right? You need chocolate chips. And only my wife would buy the generic kind of chocolate chips for you guys, so. We want them really chocolatey. I think that's it. Is that all my ingredients? But last but not least, we need an explosion, right? Right? Because we're creating cookies how the world thinks the cookies are created. So we're going to create a little explosion here. Got my lighter. Got my lid for the bucket. Boom! If you weren't sleeping, now you ain't sleeping anymore. Now, how many of you think your chocolate chip cookies are in here? Right? You think there's some chocolate chip cookies in here, anybody? Now, somebody say, well, it takes a little time. Well, we could place this over here for a couple weeks and then check and see. In fact, we could leave this over here for 1,000 years and our great-great-great-great-grandkids could come up here and see and they would never find chocolate chip cookies because whatever is designed has to have a designer, right? You were made with a purpose for a purpose, not some cosmic explosion that created everything. You were created for a purpose. Design implies a designer. The oceans are not accidental, they are intentional. The universe is not accidental, it's intentional. Human life is not accidental. It is intentional, which means that you are not an accident. You were created on purpose for a purpose. You were custom designed by the creator of the universe. And that same God uses creation in order to let us get a glimpse into his character and his love for us. Paul says this about God in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The truth is, or there is a truth, this is a truth you need to let soak in if you are ever going to overcome those overwhelming feelings that plague you. If you truly grasp that the God who created everything is also in charge of your own struggles, you will be able to get a better perspective on the things you are facing. The second reminder that God has for you is the people you meet. The people you meet. You have never met a person by accident. Never. Think about that. Every person you have ever met was a divine appointment from God, an opportunity, not an accident. Every relationship you have ever had has passed through the hands of God. Let's take a moment and talk about Nebuchadnezzar again. He was one of the most powerful men in the world at the time. He was king, a world ruler, a dictator of a powerful nation. And yet, in Daniel chapter 1, he established a relationship with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, four young guys who had been captured to serve as slaves. Now, Scripture doesn't explicitly say this, but I have to believe then those relationships were a major reason Nebuchadnezzar was able to finally get a true picture of God's character. Nebuchadnezzar met these guys in chapter 1. He saw them do the impossible in chapter 2, and he watched three of them define death by overcoming insurmountable circumstances in chapter 3. These encounters, no doubt, had a profound impact on his life, leading up to his proclamation about the one true God in Daniel chapter 3, verse 29, where he says, "There is no other God who can rescue like this." Whenever I'm doubting whether God cares about me and loves me, I take a look at the people he has placed in my life. And I'm always reminded that he cares about me even more than I care about myself at times. I'll bet as you look back on your own life, you can list people who have impacted your spiritual journey. Maybe there was someone who helped you wrestle through an issue, or someone who stood by your side during a difficult time. Someone who sent you a text out of the blue letting you know that they were thinking about you. Or someone God used to help open your heart towards him. Not a single one of those relationships were accidental. God uses people in our lives to remind us that he loves us and that he will never leave us alone in our overwhelming circumstances. The third reminder that God has, that God loves you and has a plan for your life is number three is, the circumstances you go through. The circumstances you go through. Based on my observations, grandchildren absolutely change a person's life. Grandparents, would you agree? Yeah. People say there's something special about a grandchild that changes your whole perspective. Case in point, when I was growing up, I only remember, maybe a couple times that I was allowed to go trick-or-treating because apparently sugar was of the devil. I don't know what my parents thought, but I was never allowed to go trick-or-treating. I wasn't allowed to participate. I could go to the neighbor's house, and that was about the extent of my trick-or-treating. I had decided that my parents, if you rewind back, and this is where I don't understand it. I don't understand. You rewind back when Riley was probably around the age of two. I remember my parents calling and saying, "Hey, are you going to bring Riley down to go trick-or-treating?" And I was like, "What?" And then they were like, "Well, maybe we can come up there and we can trick-or-treat with her up there. Better yet, maybe we could just do both places." And I was like, "Did you drink the wrong kind of Kool-Aid this morning or something? Because you guys are crazy. Remember, we don't do hot trick-or-treating." She's like, "Oh, Brent, stop it. Like, what are you talking about?" I don't think I've still have gotten a good answer because of it, but they're all about trick-or-treating now because they got grandkids and they want to take them trick-or-treating. And I'm like sitting here going, hey, I want to go trick-or-treating now. If you're allowing it, I want to go trick-or-treating now. Circumstances change us. Going from being single to being married changes us. Going from having no kids to being parents changing us. Changed us. I remember right before we had Riley, I went down to, it was before I had interviewed here, I went down and interviewed at a church down in Kentucky. And it was right, I mean, Kara was really pregnant and we were down there. And I remember they asked me that question, hey, how do you think kids is going to change your ministry? I was like, kids won't change my ministry at all. Kids are easy. Just put them in your pocket, right? Carry them around with you. Give them a little M&M every once in a while or something. Yeah, kids change you. Getting older changes us. Moving to new places changes us. Getting a new job changes us. Everything that happens to you changes you for the good or for the bad. But it's impossible to remain unchanged by our circumstances. Nebuchadnezzar went through some completely amazing circumstances that changed him too. In the first chapter of Daniel, we read about his plans for shaping and developing the Israelites in captivity and how those plans didn't work out according to what he had in mind. In chapter 2, we read about his disturbing dream. He has this disturbing dream that caused him to doubt everyone around him. In chapter 3, tells about the time he was an eyewitness to a miracle and how that circumstance made him start thinking differently about the one true God. When Nebuchadnezzar finally worshiped the Lord, I believe his change of heart in large part was due to the circumstances he had gone through. Daniel chapter 4, 34 says this, at the end of that time, I Nebuchadnezzar raised my eyes towards the heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. God uses circumstances to get our attention. Sometimes good ones, sometimes bad ones. But he always uses them for good. Whatever you are facing, Jesus is greater. He's greater than those times, or those times when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death can be precious because they remind us that he is the author of life. And lastly, the fourth reminder that God loves you and has a plan for your life is this one, Jesus. Jesus. Of all the reminders God has given us of his love, Jesus is our greatest reminder. Whenever I feel beaten up by life's overwhelming circumstances and doubt God's ability to handle what I'm going through, I take courage by focusing on Jesus. King Nebuchadnezzar had an interesting experience on focusing on Jesus too. And I want to jump back, if you have your Bibles open, jump back to Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Says this, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. This is after he had thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the blazing furnace. He leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around the fire unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't looking at Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. His eyes were focused on the fourth guy. He saw Jesus. And when he saw him, he didn't say, hey, who's the guy with the golden sash and the feathered hair walking around here handing out lollipops and giving everybody hugs? No. King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and eventually fell to his knees in worship because he saw Jesus. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and every nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever. His rule through all generations. After Nebuchadnezzar met Jesus, his life was never the same again. In the first three chapters of Daniel, he was an arrogant king, obsessed with his greatness. But in chapter 4, he became a man who had been wrecked by a God who loved him enough to reveal himself through creation, people, circumstances, and ultimately Jesus. With Jesus, you can overcome any situation that comes your way, no matter how out of control things may seem or how overwhelmed you may be. Just as God has given Nebuchadnezzar these sticky notes in his life as a reminder, God has given you the same reminders. His creation, the people who demonstrate his love, your circumstances, and Jesus himself. Father God, once again, we just thank you for the opportunity to discuss being overwhelmed and the sticky notes that you give us in our lives, Father. Help us to focus on those. It's so hard in life as we seem like we fly through our days and weeks and months going 100 miles an hour, Father, and we don't even pay attention to the things that you're doing all around us. So, Father, help us to slow down. Help us to realize that you're trying to make passes at us every day and remind us of your love and the fact that you have a plan for our lives. We weren't created for nothing. We are created for a purpose. And so, Father, help us to continue to reach out. This church is on the corner of County Road C and 13 for a purpose, not for ourselves, but to fulfill a great commission to go and preach your gospel to those who need it, to those who are far from you. So help us continue to focus on that as we continue to pursue you and as we continue to pursue people. We just love you and we thank you.